Hello. My name is... Well, my name is not important at all. What is important is the story I have to tell you. First of all, I don't want to become popular or tell this story too much. No. All I care about is that you don't make the same mistakes I did and that you remember that even creepypastas can be real. A few years ago, when I was a carefree teenager and an avid video game player, I stumbled upon something that made me question reality. It was summer, and I was spending my days off playing as many games as I could lay my hands on. One of those days, a friend mentioned to me about a rather peculiar Zelda game he found online. It wasn't the typical game you'd buy in a store, but something someone had made and uploaded to the internet with an emulator. The game was called The Legend of Zelda Majora's Mask: Ben Drowned Edition. The premise was simple. It was a modified version of Majora's Mask with some interesting changes. I was intrigued by the idea of playing an alternate version of one of my favorite childhood games, so without much thought, I downloaded the file and started playing. At first, everything seemed normal. The music, the graphics, the controls, everything was as I remembered from the original game. But little by little, things started to get strange. Characters in the game started behaving erratically, saying things that didn't make sense in the context of the game. In addition, there were some strange glitches, such as flickering textures and objects appearing and disappearing for no apparent reason. I figured this was all part of the charm of the modified version of the game, so I kept going. But then I started to notice something really disturbing. A new character named Ben. He wasn't a character that was in the original game, and he did nothing but follow me everywhere in the game. No matter where I went, he was always there, watching me with those empty, lifeless eyes. At first, I tried to ignore it, thinking it was just a bug in the game, but the more I played, the more intrusive he became. He started showing up in places he shouldn't be able to get to, and his appearances became more frequent. Soon, I realized that Ben wasn't just a character in the game. He seemed to be trying to communicate with me. Rather than being frightened, he was somewhat enchanted. Whoever made this modified version of the game was breaking the fourth wall. This was not a glitch. I was very intrigued. Who was this Ben, and what did he want from me? As much as the character followed me around, I couldn't figure out what the game developer expected from me. I decided to search online about the game and find out if anyone else had experienced something similar. What I found chilled my blood. It turns out that Ben Drowned was the name of a famous creepypasta on the internet. The story told of a boy named Ben who died a mysterious death while playing Majora's Mask, and his spirit was trapped inside the game. According to legend, Ben was trying to communicate with players to warn them of some dark danger lurking within the game. I felt like I had ice water poured down my back. Was I talking to the spirit of a dead child? Of course I wasn't. It was very obvious that the developer of the modified version of the game had taken all this into account and tried to copy the creepypasta. But you know, even when I turned off the PC, I couldn't get Ben out of my mind. I had his big empty eyes stuck in my head. The developer who had made the game knew what he was doing. I was so scared. I never mentioned that I was also a big fan of horror games, and this hack was pretty good if it could scare me like it did. I knew I couldn't leave it at that. I had to keep playing. Against my better judgment, I turned the PC back on and loaded the game. This time, I was going to go as far as I could. I fired up the game, and Ben appeared once again, following me. I began to play, ignoring the fact that he was behind me, teleporting and advancing with me in the story. At first, it was all normal. Ben was just an annoying being following me, sometimes looking at the screen, trying to tell me something. But soon after, everything started to get worse. The first strange thing happened when Ben started to make a more active role in the gameplay. Now he wasn't just following me around. Sometimes he would wait for me in front of each new map. Other times he would block my way or even look at the camera every time Link had any dialogue. A few minutes into the game, things kept getting worse. In the middle of the game, terrifying Majora jump scares would appear and catch me off guard when I was concentrating hardest. After each scare, Ben was in a different position, giving me understanding that he had total control over the game. I was starting to get uncomfortable and wanted to exit the game, but as if he knew I wanted to leave, the real scary moment happened. Before I pressed a button to exit the emulator, a message appeared on my screen. The message was written in white on a black background, without any kind of presentation. This message said that I had already started playing. I can't leave anymore. As soon as I finished reading the message, I received another jump scare from Majora and went back to the game, but something had changed. Link had appeared in a different place, a place that seemed to be outside the main map. Ben was there too, but now he wasn't looking at Link. He was looking at me. At this point, I was very scared, but also amazed. I was trying to move forward, but my character wasn't moving. A message suddenly appeared on the wall. The message said, "Turn off the light to move forward." I ignored the message, but my character still wasn't moving. I knew what I had to do. I had to turn off the lights, but it didn't make sense. There was no way the game would run just by turning off the lights. I didn't want to turn them off, so I tried to move anyway, but there was no way. I took a deep breath and reached out to turn off the lights. I was so scared if the game was working, it meant something was going on. Surely it was all a lie. There was no way the lights were influencing anything. Once I got the lights off, I grabbed my joystick and made Link move. The message was gone, and Link was moving. I can't tell you what I felt at that moment. I was praying that it was all coincidence, but it was too much of a coincidence. I felt I'd had enough of this game, so I reached over to turn on the light. It didn't work. I started to panic. I ran to the exit door of my room, but it was locked. I tried to break it down, but suddenly it felt reinforced. The door wouldn't budge. I tried to open my window, and it wouldn't open either. Only a little light was coming in from outside. I went back to the game and turned off the computer, unplugging it directly from the power. But it still worked. It was impossible. What was going on? Meanwhile, Ben's face was glued to the screen, tapping it subtly to try to get out of it. I tried turning off the monitor, and to my luck, it turned off and I could no longer see the screen. I was relieved, thinking it was all over, but I didn't realize what that meant. Even though the monitor was off, I could still hear the sounds of the game. I could hear Ben tapping on the computer monitor. The computer was working, only now I couldn't see anything. I got desperate and tried to open the door, but it was still as stuck as before. I tried to turn on the monitor one more time, but it didn't work either. I got desperate trying to turn on the monitor, but in those futile attempts, I realized something else. My feet were wet. I didn't understand where the water was coming from until I felt more drops falling on my feet. Those drops were falling from the monitor. I stepped back in terror. I could see almost nothing. It was all so dark. The only thing I could see were small reflections of light coming from a few holes in the window. Do you know what I could see? I could see little reflections of a person coming out of my computer monitor. I had already lost all my strength to fight or escape. I was locked in. That thing had come out of my monitor and had transported itself in front of me. It was Ben. I could see little glitches on my body as if he was coming out of the television. I backed up until I hit the wall. I started to scream in fear, while the shadow in front of me was soiling my feet with water. It wasn't just any water, it was dirty water, black water mixed with dirt. The strange being stretched his hands towards my face. The moment it touched me, I felt the most horrible sensation. Something I had never felt in my life. It was as if something was draining the life out of me. My face began to crumple more and more as the blood drained from it, and I felt weaker with each passing second. My body was also getting smaller and smaller. It was an indescribable pain that I could not stop because I felt too weak to move a finger. Suddenly, I heard a noise. Numb, I listened as someone slowly approached my room. From 1 second to the next, the door opened and the light came on. It was my mother. I was still against the wall, dizzy and confused. Concentrating on her cell phone, she told me to wake up to go to college. Seeing me against the wall, she completely ignored my panicked face, told me she didn't know I was awake, and just left. When I looked at the computer, it was turned off. When I turned the computer back on, I discovered that the game was uninstalled and had disappeared from my computer. I never heard about Ben drowned again, but I wrote on different web pages what I experienced, just to let people know more about the legend, and to let them know that it is not just a creepypasta. It is something real. Something that came into my house, and something that tried to kill me.
If I tell you the word creepypasta, surely you think of the most famous creepypasta, right? Slenderman, Jeff the Killer, and Sonic are the first creepypastas that someone usually thinks of and relates to that word. But you know, there are a lot of creepypastas. No matter how scared you are of Slenderman, the creepypasta that scares me the most is another one. Do you know why? Because I know it's real. I saw it with my own eyes. And now, I'm going to tell you. This is the story of how I met the Rake. A few years ago, when I was still a college student, full of energy and lack of judgment, I had an experience that made me rethink everything I thought I knew about the world. It was a hot and humid summer night, typical for that time of year. I was hanging out with some friends in a cabin we rented on the outskirts of town. We weren't doing anything special, just drinking, laughing, and telling scary stories to get us in the right mood. The cabin was surrounded by thick, dark walls, and although I'd never been a superstitious person, I'd always been a little uncomfortable with the idea of being so close to wild nature at night. But my friends and I were pretty adventurous, and the excitement of the night kept us distracted from any worries. That night, after a few more rounds of beer and a few more laughs, we decided to venture outside the cabin to explore the surroundings a bit. We didn't have any particular plans, we just wanted to enjoy nature and have some more fun before going to sleep. We walked along the path into the forest, but as we got deeper and deeper into the darkness of the trees, the mood began to change. We all started to feel watched, as if someone was following our every step. It was then that I saw it for the first time. It was just a flash, but I could swear I saw something running through the forest, going at high speed before I could finish identifying it. My friends didn't seem to notice it, so I figured it was just my imagination, or the beers, and I decided to say nothing and move on, telling myself that it was just my imagination. But then, I saw it again, this time more clearly. It was a dark, slender figure crouched among the trees, watching us with eyes that seemed to glow in the dark. I gulped and froze, unable to look away from the thing as it glided through the trees, moving with an agility that chilled my blood. It can't be real, I kept repeating over and over in my head as I watched the strange creature slowly stalking us.
Guys, we have to get out of here. Now!
After saying those words, the only words that came out of my mouth, I began to slowly back away from that dark figure in the forest. My friends looked at me with confusion, but didn't ask, probably thinking I was just joking. They all laughed at me, thinking it was a lousy attempt to scare them. But after watching my face for a few seconds, they realized I actually saw something. They thought it was probably some dangerous animal, and I didn't want to explain to them what I'd just seen because they wouldn't have believed me. I just started running, and so did they. When we finally got out of the forest and back to the cabin, I was relieved, but also terrified. Everyone asked me what had happened, what I had seen. I just told them I'd seen an animal that looked dangerous, and they called me a coward. I knew it was something else, something that seemed to be hunting us, that moved like an intelligent being. After the jokes, my friends had moved on to a different topic, but I couldn't get it out of my head, and I knew I couldn't sleep that night without knowing what it was that had been watching us. I decided to keep it to myself. I didn't want to worry my friends any more than necessary, but as everyone was getting ready for bed, I lay awake, my eyes open and my heart still pounding in my chest. Surely we were out of danger, but if that being had followed us, we could be in danger without anyone knowing. While everyone slept, I stayed awake, alert. Every little noise outside the cabin made me jump, wondering if it was that creature stalking us. I tried to stay calm, tried telling myself I was just overreacting, but I couldn't shake the feeling that something was wrong. Suddenly, I heard a thud coming from outside. My heart flipped in my chest and I froze, trying to listen for any other sound that would confirm what I just heard. But everything was silent again. I tried to convince myself that it was just the wind or an animal lurking near the cabin, but something in the back of my mind told me it wasn't. I slowly got out of bed, trying not to wake my friends, and crept over to the window to see what was going on outside. The moonlight was barely enough to illuminate the outside. But that's when I saw him. He was standing at the edge of the woods, watching the cabin with those glowing eyes I had seen earlier. In an impulse to push him away, I grabbed a bottle and threw it out the window in his direction. He simply dodged it and kept looking at me. This was no frightened animal. He knew what he was doing. I could no longer afford not to warn my friends. Whatever this creature was, it followed us to the cabin and waited for us to fall asleep. That level of reasoning is way above any wild animal. If we didn't all act together, we really were in danger. I left the window and ran towards my friend's room. But as if detecting that I was going to move away from the window, he desperately lunged to try and get in. Seeing him up close was much more frightening than from a distance. His skin was moist and white. He had even looked wrinkled. His teeth were huge and his body... God, this really was a monster. It looked like a deformed humanoid. It had a lot of strength and it was going to open the window. And I couldn't stop it. Surrendering, the being moved away to the right. The main door. I blocked the front door, and in that same second, he hit it as hard as he could. I had no choice but to stay behind the wooden door, preventing him from knocking it down. My friends heard everything and came to my aid. They didn't know what was behind that door, but they knew it was definitely something bad. Something they didn't want in the house. Two of my friends blocked the door, and the monster quickly gave up, realizing that it wasn't going to be able to break it down. My other friend stood looking out of the window until we were safe. My friends wondered what was going on. They asked me to explain who or what that beast was. I tried to tell them, but the words wouldn't come out of my mouth. I was so scared. Everyone was looking at me, except one of my friends who was looking in the opposite direction. He was looking towards the fireplace.
The rake.
When we heard those words, we all looked at the fireplace, and there we saw him. That demon was leaning out of the chimney, watching every move we made. At that precise moment, it lunged at my friend, biting his neck with brutal violence and dragging him like a rag doll towards the chimney. My friends and I rushed to attack him, and in response, he made a huge leap to the ceiling, where he stayed clinging as if he were a spider. Some of my friends were throwing things at him, while others were trying to leave. This monster wasn't fazed by the things they were throwing, and it was easy to understand that it was waiting for another opportunity to attack. I grabbed my friend off the ground, and we all started running for our cars. Most of us didn't even have our cell phones with us, but we were alive. We all understood that we couldn't face that thing, that the only way to survive was to run away. Those of us who were taking our wounded friend to the hospital were able to listen to the story he had to tell us. My friend told us that he recognized the monster, but he didn't know it was real. The monster was called the Rake. The Rake was a monster popularized by creepypastas. A monster that preferred to roam the woods, hunting groups of friends and families that strayed too far away. Almost nothing was known about him, because almost no one who saw him lived to tell the tale. Needless to say, we never went back to that forest. Today, we know that that monster is still there, waiting for someone to return to that cabin. They may just be a happy family, a group of friends, or even a couple. But for him, they will only be food.